You know, the earth, as the song talks about, is not done. It's in a constant state of evolution. Do you recognize that? How often do we stop and pause and go, what's happening us around us, the trees, the soil, the sky, all of it is moving and stirring in a great pattern of creation and evolution, yes? And some of us are cooperating with that and some of us are not cooperating with it. The earth is holy. The earth is holy and it's moving and stirring in such a way that it's extending a great invitation for us to participate, just as love is calling us to participate. And so many of us are waiting for evolution, waiting for enlightenment, and we're sitting alone going, why doesn't somebody do something? Why doesn't somebody act? Why can't there be more love on the planet? Why can't the earth be healed? Well, the trees are screaming at us, God sent somebody. God, love, sent you. I'm going to tell a number of stories today that are all about that, but I invite you to keep that sense of proactivity, of co-creation, individually and collectively that we have here as I tell these stories. Any baseball players in the room? No? Who do you got in the Super Bowl? Maybe that's a better question. You know, last time I rooted for a team in the Super Bowl, I lost 3 members because I rooted for the wrong team. But go Seattle. Yes, a few of you are like, okay, 3 or 4 of you just left the room. As a foster parent, I was a foster parent for many, many, many years. Susie and I had all kids, all manner of kids with all kinds of beautiful expressions of light that came through our home. And one of the things I did as a foster parent is I had a baseball team. And all, sometimes 9 kids would be on that baseball team. I was their coach. And we'd go out to the field, and there was various degrees of talent, if you will, on the field. And anybody who's played baseball knows, where do you put possibly the least gifted athletes on the baseball field in the field? Where do you put them? Right field, right field. And I'm going to just ask you to keep right field in your mind. A lot of us are spiritually living in right field. No expectation that anything is going to happen, anything is going to be different. Well, let me introduce you to Robbie. Robbie was probably had the most difficult family experience before she made it to our house. And she was not a gifted athlete, but she played right field. We'd gone through an entire season of baseball, and I think the ball came out to right field maybe twice for the whole season. A grounder, she picked it up and did her best to throw it in. She might have caught a fly, I don't know. But we were in the championship game because it was a very good team. And there was 2 outs, it was the bottom of the 7th. He only played 7 innings at that time. 2 outs, the bases had runners on it, and a kid came up. And where did the ball go? The pitcher threw it, hit the bat, bam, a towering fly ball out to right field. And it was going right to where Robbie was standing. All she had to do was put her mitt out, and it would have landed in the mitt. And everybody's screaming, catch the ball, Robbie. Put your mitt out there. And nobody could see what was going on, but she was keeping the mitt close to her chest, and she was looking very disconcerted. And things were coming out of her mitt and falling onto the ground. Well, she didn't get it. The center fielder came over and tried to throw him out at home, didn't make it. We lost a championship game. But we all had to know what was going on in right field. Well, we had a box of goodies and candies that was for the end of the game. Robbie decided somewhere around the 4th inning to get into the box. And so she was out in right field having candy, sucking on lollipops, just having a little party with no expectation the ball's ever coming out to right field until it does. A lot of us spiritually are living in right field with a mitt full of sweet ideas. Sweet visions, this is the dream that I could be living. Not any expectation that it really is going to ever manifest until here comes the ball. And then we're caught with our pants down, if you will. We're caught going, I don't know what to do. The candy spills everywhere. We miss the fly ball and we lose the game of the dream or the vision or the manifestation of how God chose to show up as you. You're not ready for it. Love chose to do business as you in right field, and you're not ready for it. I was taught as a baseball player to be on your toes, to be ready, to be poised, and to be eager for whatever's going to come, whether you're playing shortstop and the ball's there pretty much every play, or you're in right field. Sometimes it'll be inning 1, 2, 3, 4, nothing's coming out. That's usually when spiritual people go to sleep. I held an affirmation 10 years ago. It's wanting to manifest, but I've gone to sleep with a bunch of pretty sweet ideas, and all of a sudden, here it comes, and I'm not ready. Today's message is getting in front of it. Getting in front of it. Say that with me. Getting in front of it. I've been trying to deliver this message for the last 3 weeks. But luckily, we got in front of the great 2026 storms that coated our parking lot with ice and snow. Not. But it's all about taking responsibility for the life that we're creating. You know, we think it's an easy job to just say an affirmation, say a prayer, and then life's going to unfold before us. It's not so easy. It's not for the faint of heart. It's getting in front of what life's going to throw at you, the good, the bad, and the not so good. Anybody ever get caught asleep? The good shows up and you're not ready for it. It's being prepared for whatever lies ahead of you, of us, having a clear plan, a lived vision that has been lived on the inside in the realm of divine ideas long before it ever manifested on earth. Whatever life shows us, we are ready for it. We're poised and the ball's come on the right field. We can do whatever it takes to catch it. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, let's put that scripture up there. I think we have it. Let's read it together. Without vision, the people will perish. Everything is created twice, first in mind and then in reality. What does it look like to catch a ball in right field? I've rehearsed it. I've seen it. I've visioned it. I've lived it. I've breathed it. Many people are waiting for the ball to show up, then to live it. Too late. You're not prepared. You're not ready. And then against I won't have you say that one because I'm going to sing that one. The Gospel of Joe Jackson. You can't get what you want till you know what you want. Now you can sing it with me. You can't get what you want till you know what you... Well, there's the big duh. Duh. But yet, we're waiting for something to happen. Why doesn't somebody do something? Why is the good that I've been holding and that I forgot about and it shows up and you don't... It's going right past you. You're not even seeing it. The center fielder is going to get the good. We teach in this unity movement that the mind is the mold and the life is the casting. Your mind is the mold, and it is the first step of creation. The life that you are living and are going to live in the future will be the casting. Thought is the womb of form. Say that with me. Thought is the womb of form. You are called to be the womb of creation, to live on the inside before it's ever manifested. We're so concerned about manifestation on the outside that we forget the most important step. I have to be living the divine idea first inside. I need to be taking actions based upon that which is already true within me. That means I am poised and ready and not just a mitt full of sweet ideas that when life comes that I cannot catch it. It's envisioning becomes the pattern through which substance organizes itself. And I said this in a podcast with my friend Larry recently. You know, there are a lot of people praying, God, use me. Use me, God. And the very essence of reality, of God, of life, of love, it's praying back to us, use me. Use me. You're waiting around for somebody to bring the direction when the direction itself, the energy, the substance itself is saying, use me. Into your hands has been placed the ability to catch any dream, to catch any vision. But we've got a bunch of pretty ideas that we rehearse maybe once a week on a Sunday if we're lucky. The container is the baseball glove, and it is essential to living the life when it heads our way. Everything is born twice in consciousness, right? That's why there's two creation stories. First in mind, then in reality. First in consciousness, it must be a lived experience before it can be lived on the outside. That's basic new thought. And if that's the case, most of the world has got it all backwards. We're waiting for life to change before we change. We're waiting for circumstances out here to change before we change. That's completely and totally backwards. Why doesn't somebody do something? Why doesn't God do something? God is waiting for you to be the container, to be the vessel through which new life, new paradigms, and new ideas can manifest. We've got it all backwards. We're trying to live into a second creation, a second vision of creation, and we've neglected the first creation. The first step of creation. The future does not start out there. It never starts out there. it begins in here. So many of us are living in life in right field with our mitt full of pretty sweet ideas, and when the ball comes, we're not ready for it because we haven't lived it first. Anybody see, remember that study that was done many, many years ago? Basketball team divided the team into two, and half of the basketball players rehearsed over and over, making free throws, free throws, free throws. The other half of the team sat on the bench and meditated and visualized making free throws over and over and over again. At the end of the week, they came together. Guess which side made more free throws? The ones who had visioned it, who had lived it, the lived experience, made more free throws than the ones who had actually been doing it. And I thought, how amazing would this earth be and this world be if it's a both and reality and not either or? That it was seeing it before it came. It was knowing it before it manifested. It was living into it before it happened. What I see happening in our country right now, and I see happening in our world, is we're just waiting for things to change on the outside before we change on the inside. And what's happened is a lot of stuff is spilling out that doesn't really need to be there. We've all heard the story 100 times, but it really bears repeating. If I'm walking down the hallway of my life and my existence with a cup of coffee in my hand, and somebody bumps into me, and coffee spills out all over the floor, who is responsible for the coffee spilling out on the floor? It's not the person who bumped into me. I spilled coffee because coffee is what I was carrying. And as I see the world today, we have not done the prep work for the bumping that's happening in the hallway. In our nation today, in our humanity, and on the earth today, we're carrying a lot of anger in a cup, and things are bumping up against us. I can blame the person who's bumping up against me. That's a very external reality. Or I can go, I spilled anger because that's what I was carrying. I spilled hatred because that's what I was carrying. I spilled vengeance because that was what was in my cup. I had not done the prep work, and the ball showed up. And sometimes the ball looks like somebody bumping up against you. It sometimes looks like difficulty and pain. It sometimes can look like a diagnosis. What are you carrying in your cup, between your ears? What are you carrying in your consciousness? What are you carrying in your heart, in your soul, in your life? This is the question of the day. That's the prep work. That's the vision lived first in mind, in cup, in consciousness, before all hell breaks loose. And I cannot blame all hell breaking loose on anybody else. I need to take personal responsibility. And that's where I am with what's going on with the world today. Put love in your cup. Put compassion in your cup. Put kindness. Put strength and determination. None of those things mean that you just remain mute. They mean that you're able to respond with love, because that's what's spilling out of your cup. And what I love is what's happening on the planet. There is a solution to it. I'm carrying, let's say Shirley bumps into me in the hallway. She's carrying a cup of anger. I'm carrying a cup of anger. We bump into each other and we have different ideas and we both spill anger onto the floor. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. It's not, nothing changes. But could it be that if I'm carrying compassion, no matter how much anger is in Shirley's cup, it's all spilled and emptied, I can take a little bit and pour it into her cup. And this does not mean playing small. I want to get real clear. I've been very active lately on Facebook because I'm no longer willing to say compassion alone is enough. It must be coupled with strength and honesty. But if I am reacting, if I am living a life only of reaction, I'm not prepared for it. Hate, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, is not going to solve anything except making us all blind. I must be living the world that when the news comes on, I know exactly how I'm going to behave. I'm going to come from the place of godness, of love, of peace, and of harmony. And then I will respond with strength as the partner to that. So many people are living their spiritual practice merely as a first aid kit. Have you noticed that? I've got a first aid kit. It sits and it collects dust in the closet in the bathroom. I don't really know what's in it. I don't know how to use it, but it's there and it feels good to know that it's there. Something goes wrong. Something falls apart. There's a wounding. There's a reaction. There's a diagnosis. A crisis happens. Then and only then do I go running to the spiritual principles. Then and only then. Now, where is that thing? I don't know what I do with this. What is this? Anybody go to a first aid kit and you have no idea what it is? Well, most of us are contextualizing our spiritual life that way. Something bad happens then and only then I run to the church. I run to the minister. I run to the friend with help me, help. I need somebody. It's too late. There is no bank account. There is no relationship established. The prep work was not done. The vision had not been lived internally. And so we panic. And I'll go so bold as to say spirituality to an extent has become a convenience store. Convenience stores aren't going to save you when you bump into somebody. Convenience stores are not going to fill your cup with anything except coffee. And if you don't want to spill coffee, you better do something else and go to a different store. Likewise, when we dabble at a spiritual hobby, anybody ever have a spiritual hobby? I had it for many years of my life. Inevitably, some unforeseen good shows up on your doorstep. Here it comes. The good hits our world, and I'm not prepared to grab it with a mitt. It falls right through my fingers because I'm not poised and ready for what's coming out to right field because I was asleep. Anybody ever see somebody win the lottery only for a year later to be bankrupt? Clear example of the prep work was not done. The vision was not lived experience on the inside first. I've had many people come to my office and say, Reverend Richard, I want you to do my marriage and my wedding. I found the love of my life. And I realized that I would go ahead and do a wedding. And that was kind of ineffective because they'd be in my office a year later saying, can you help us get divorced? There was not a container. There was not a substance to it. It was a feel-good, pretty idea in a mitt. But there was not the work that needed to be done before the relationship. And so I've actually told a number of people, you might want to wait 6 months. And you might want to do some internal work here. Not because I'm meddling, but because it is essential to sustaining the life that we're all creating. Yes? It's essential. You know, we go to a workshop. We're a New Thought people. We are workshop junkies. The next book study, and it feels so good. And we affirm, and we claim, and we write down, and we journal. And then a week later, we put it into a drawer, and then it dies. And then it shows up a year later. And you go, oh, this is that dream that I had talked about or we talked about in that workshop. Right through your fingers. You're not poised. You're not ready. The ball in the ninth inning just came out to right field and you don't have the container in order to hold it. Life is inevitably going to bring us to crossroads. Moments of decision where we decide, do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go up, down, forward, back, be still, or take action? I've been at that crossroads a lot over the last 9 months. Well, the last 63 years, to be totally honest. But the last 9 months, I realized that I had a lot of stuff in my cup that I was not prepared when I got to the crossroads. What am I supposed to do here? That's not a problem of not knowing. It's a problem of a lack of preparation. I should know when that crossroad comes, should I go left or right? Should I go up or down? Should I take action or should I be still? My inability is a testimony to my inability of prep work. That means I need to get more active with my meditation and my prayer practice. There is a necessary relationship with the power that's been placed into our hands. This next slide, please. Let's read this together. Can you read that okay? I need glasses. I'm going to have to look this way. Together, there is a necessary relationship with the powers of the universe before life happens. It's a pretty idea. It's in my mitt, and it's a pretty idea. There was a moment in my life, the foster home I talked about, we had a big old backyard, and there was a perfect place for a deck. I was in my 20s. I'd never built anything in my life. But I had a vision. I'm going to go build a deck in the backyard. So I went and got a bunch of lumber. I just went immediately to lumber, nails, and a hammer, and I got my very first skill saw. Yeah, can you feel it already? No training, no understanding of the power that was in my hands. Now, a deck eventually got built. It cost me probably 3 times more than it should have cost me had I been more prepared. But it came this close to costing me the most precious thing I have, which is my ability to play piano. There was no prep work, skill saw. Nobody warned me. Nobody told me. I didn't do the study. There's a kickback on that sucker. And I came within millimeters of losing my fingers because of the prep work. Now, thank God, I did not. But there is a necessary relationship with the power that has been placed into your hands, the God ability to manifest the world that we want, and we're bumping into each other. And we don't have the skill, the rehearsed, the practiced skill in order how to manage what's going on, and it is ugly. There is something called from right now of the humanity to be built. And now we're going to the skill saw trying to figure it out, and I think we're losing limbs. We're certainly losing our capacity to love. Don't wait till things fall apart to go to the first aid kit and know what's there. Don't wait till there's a moment to have a deck or till the ball's coming out in right field. It's too late. We must sustain, maintain the good when it shows up because we have sustained and maintained the good before it showed up. It's been lived within. Benjamin Franklin said this. Next quote, please. By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. That's what happened when I went to build a deck. Let's read it together. By failing to prepare, you are preparing. Plain and simple, but let me go to Jesus. I got to go to Jesus. We are a Unity Church. He's our main guy. He said basically the same thing as Benjamin Franklin. Next quote, please. And by the way, give me a favor and thank. We're shorthanded in the booth today, and Wes is doing quadruple duty up there. Michael always does quadruple duty. Let's read this together. This is from the Gospel of Matthew and Mark together. Stay awake, for you know neither the hour or the day. The ball's coming to right field. You don't know when it's coming. You better be ready. And then in the Gospel of Luke together, be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Are you ready? Are you poised? Are you prepared? Are you prayed up? Are you meditated up? Or is your spiritual practice just a hobby and your mitt is full of pretty ideas? There is a really huge difference between reacting to life and creating a life. We are a movement of creating life, not reacting to life. And it's very important that we know that distinction. Our spiritual pathway and the principles are about creating and manifesting the life that we desire, not just reacting to it. Life is going to happen. Good and challenging, and the ball's coming out to right field. The power is in your hands. One of my foster kids in that home, his name was Andy, one of my favorite. He was one of the best players on the team. He could hit a home run anywhere. But Andy was a very naive little kid. And we had one Christmas here in California where Andy wanted for Christmas, I want a snow sled. It had not snowed in the town in California for 35 years. But he wanted a snow sled. All the other kids made fun of Andy. But you know what? That's what the kid envisioned. That's what he was living into. He saw himself on the hill. We had no plans to go to the snow. I'm not a big snow guy, which is why I moved to Georgia and not Minnesota or Michigan. But he wanted a snow sled. Sorry, no offense. We were coming home over the hill. We lived in the mountains, and we were coming home from the church, which was about 45 minutes away. Christmas Eve service was beautiful and wonderful, and the kids were still ribbing Andy, and we get to the top of the mountain, coming over the other side to get home for Christmas Eve, and what starts to happen? Snow. Oh, well, it's not a big deal. It's just a little bit of snow. There were inches upon inches upon inches of snow that hit after 35 years of no snow in Boulder Creek, California. Guess who the most popular kid was on Christmas morning? And not only Andy was also a very smart entrepreneur, he made a lot of money that day. He was the only kid who had a sled on Christmas morning. And everybody wanted a ride. That'll be a quarter. That'll be a quarter. That'll be a quarter. We lived on this massive hill, and it went right down into our driveway. It was perfect, and he was a popular kid. He was ready, he was prepared, and he was poised. I'm going to tell you that it's going to snow in your life. Some good, some not so good. It's going to snow. It may not be the last 2 weeks. But inevitably, if we are not prepared as a community for the difficulties when we bump into each other, when we bump into other religious organizations, when we bump into other political systems, when we bump into other emotional systems, we need to be prepared. It's going to snow. It is snowing. And it is icing over. And our hearts are icing over because we have not prepared the fires of the truth that we are living in and as. Basically, Andy's story is the same story of the farmer who went out every day. His crops needed rain, and he'd pray for rain, and he'd pray for rain, and he'd pray for rain. And then one day he invited his daughter, his little six-year-old daughter, to come out, and she brought an umbrella. How many of us have the umbrella ready for what we are affirming, to what we are manifesting? Do we really believe that our faith is going to create the reality we are seeking? Absolutely, it must. The question has never been if. If there is an if question, you have a doubt. The question is, how ready are you when it shows up? I think we have a slide for that. Don't we have, Wes, another slide? Yep, let's read it together. The question is not if. The question is, how ready are you? A lot of us have affirmed the floodgates of goodness, the floodgates of health, the floodgates of prosperity, and all we have is a little thimble. And the floodgate comes, the snows come, and we're trying to catch the infinite universe, God expressing in the universe with a thimble or a child's bucket with a bunch of holes in it. The work that happens before the manifestation is more important. Vision must precede manifestation. Knowing the lived experience on the inside must precede the manifestation. What does that look like in today's world? Here's my list, and I'm sure you can add to it. Next slide. There it is. Together, practice peace before conflict arises. Breathe that in for a second. I've practiced peace, so when Rusty and I bump into each other, I'm spilling peace and not spilling anger, not spilling divisiveness. Number two, build savings before crisis hits. Thank God for Dave Ramsey. Took me 60 years to get there, but Dave Ramsey taught me that. I've got a bank account, financially and spiritually, that I draw from when all hell breaks loose. Number three, have a bigger container. How big is your container? A thimble? Or is it a tire reservoir? Together, stay prayed up. Cultivate compassion before offense. Ooh, that one, there you go. I was spilling coffee everywhere. I was spilling everywhere anger because I have not been practicing and cultivating compassion in my cup before somebody offended me. Boom, reaction. Stay awake in right field. Although the one before that, together, learn skills before opportunity knocks. You might want to look at a class or look at the manual of how to use a skill saw, of how to handle the good that God wants for you before it shows up. And the last one, tend your inner life before the outer world demands something you're not ready to do. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And as we say, tinkle a little bit. We are in Black History Month. And I think that Black History Month, we would be remiss not to mention it and to know that what we've just talked about is everything that the African-American, the people of color, have lived in this nation forever and ever and are still living to a degree. Black history is living proof that everything is created twice. Long before freedom was written into any of our laws, it was written into consciousness. It was lived first on the inside. Long before equality showed up in our systems, it lived in the songs. It lived in the sermons, the prayers and the dreams of a people that would not be put down. Long before justice was visible, it was envisioned. Dr. King famously said this quote. Can we have that up there? I'll read it for you. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. That's a spiritual principle. I don't know point Z. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that I am ready. I am now ready. I'm living it. I'm living the freedom before it shows up. That's faith. That's living into the vision before the evidence arrives. The spirituals that were sung by enslaved people were not nostalgia. That's the easy cop-out. They were blueprints. They were blueprints for creation and possibility. They sang freedom before freedom existed. They trained our souls to expect deliverance in a world that was absolutely structured against it. And when the ball came out to right field, they were ready. Howard Thurman, mystic and theologian, wrote this: "The dream must be nourished with faith and determination until it becomes a living fact." That is the first creation. It must be nourished in mind and heart before it becomes a living fact. Black history shows us that preparation is not a privilege. Preparation is just not something you do as a privilege. It is survival. And the human race, the American dream and vision, it's not just a privilege. It is our very survival. The world needs what we do here in this room now more than ever. It needs the work done by every individual in this room now more than ever. Vision was not a luxury. It is a lifeline. People of color didn't just hope for change. They prepared themselves to be the container, to be the people who could carry it. And they're still wanting more and more because it's getting bigger. We've come a long way, baby, but we got a long way to go. Dr. King absolutely knew this truth when he said, "I have a dream." Let us notice that he didn't say, "I have a complaint." He didn't say, "I have a reaction." He said, "I have a dream. I have a vision. This is the first creation." And that vision held, rehearsed, preached, sung, marched, and embodied became the bridge between what was and what could be. And hopefully on this Black History Month 2026, between what was, what is, and what will be. I'm telling us all, we need to be ready and to examine where we're spilling coffee all over the floor. Examine what's coming out when we bump up against each other or when we watch the news. The ball's coming to right field. You have a skill saw in your hand. Be so familiar with it that when the bumping happens, that love pours out, that we gather at the altar of love no matter what. We gather at the altar of love when we speak out and we say, "This is not okay. This will not happen on my watch." But let love lead, not anger, not hate. Because when hate leads, that skill saw is going to cut much more than a few fingers. It's going to cut the very fabric of the human race and the oneness that we teach and that we believe. I hope that you will keep these in mind throughout all of Black History Month. But keep it in mind when you leave this place and you're somewhere having lunch with somebody and somebody says something that's irritating to you. Maybe the rehearsal we've done here in these brief moments in these seats will be bubbling up in such a way that the healing is absolutely begun. I claim it, I see it, I know it, and I allow it to be. And so it shall be. Amen.